This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Three Man Front.
Well, we're 5 minutes away from the SEC baseball tournament officially starting. It's been a rain delay out at the Hoover Met.
Put me in, Coach. I'm ready to play.
We're 95 days away until college football kicks off, and we're 137 days before Jimbo Fisher comes to Bryant-Denny Stadium in Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
Will Jimbo be here prior to the date with the Crimson Tide for anything? Do we know?
Only if the principal of the SEC calls him into his office.
Oh, I feel like that could be coming, Pat.
And perhaps gives him an eighth hour. Do you remember eighth hours? Did you have eighth hours where you went to school?
We just call that detention.
Just detention?
Yeah. Or
did you have to come
after practice awards?
Was that before school or after school?
Be honest with you, it's been a long time. I think junior high was the last time I had gotten detention, but that was after school. Detention was after school. You had to go in the art teacher's room. For some reason, he served as the detention monitor.
The art teacher.
At yeah. Hoover, you had the option.
So you could do it before school or after?
Yeah.
Okay. I think where I went, it was morning, but I was fortunate enough I did not have to undertake that. So
hard to believe I'd never had detention in high school.
I had once in middle school. That was it.
Yeah, middle school for me, yeah. And it was multiple.
Of course.
Yeah, repeat offender.
Yeah, mine was for tardiness.
Mine was not.
Yeah, but here's the crazy thing. Like, we had teams, and so all of your classes, you know, were a part of whatever one team. And if you were late three times throughout the 9 weeks amongst all your classes, not just one, like if you were late three times, all of them, you got detention. So I mean, life happens sometimes when you're middle school and, you know, trying to Mac and things like
sure.
that. You get late a couple times.
Right.
So I got it the once.
You don't hear that bell when those hormones are going, right?
Nope. And then mom found out. And like I said, went to detention once. That's all it took.
That was it. Yeah. As I mentioned, we are in a rain delay currently. The game was supposed to start at 9:30 between Alabama and their opponent in this morning. Of course, if they knock off Georgia, they will play again tomorrow morning. So the 24th-ranked Georgia Bulldogs taking on Alabama, they're about 5 minutes away. Some rain showers have come through Metro Birmingham. So, unfortunately, Landrum, I think this is what we're going to get over the next couple days. It's a full slate of games every day, so hopefully they won't get pushed back too far. But Bama, in about 5 minutes from now, they will have their first pitch against the Georgia Bulldogs. How about this stat on Alabama baseball? Didn't realize this, but Alabama's the only team in the nation with 7 wins versus opponents ranked in the Division I baseball top 10 at the time of the game. A very tough schedule for Bohannon and the Alabama Crimson Tide, but they got to get a win against number 24, Georgia, a very good team coming out of the East.
Yeah, I don't know how much ground that they can gain. They helped themselves by obviously just getting in the tournament, having the 2 wins over a top 10 team in Arkansas last week. That's certainly going to help, but we saw it last year. I don't know how much ground you can make up or improve your resume if you're Alabama, short of maybe playing in the championship game coming up on Sunday. And it's just so hard to do, especially in this format, if you don't get one of those byes. But stranger things have happened in this tournament based on pitching rotations. You know that you've got a regional locked up. Are you going to burn through a bunch of pitchers? No, you're going to go out there, and if it happens, it happens. But always a fun time. It's just unfortunate that we've had no rain whatsoever to speak of.
We went 3 weeks without rain, and then the SEC tournament comes to town, and we get rain.
Yeah, and I hate it because we went out to get some stuff yesterday out of the Met.
That was a beautiful day.
Yeah, it was a beautiful day. And this is what I love, and I was reminded of this. Mississippi State, their team's not going to be there. Didn't make the SEC tournament. Down year after the national championship for the Bulldogs. But the tents that I already saw of Mississippi State fans setting up their tailgate spot, making a week of it, just so much fun to see. And it is. It's a 5-day party. I only wish that I've always wanted to stay in a camper out there and just maybe two or 3 days worth of tailgating and just watching games.
You know you can do that, right?
Well, I know I can. I don't have a camper.
You know they rent those, right?
Do they rent campers?
Yeah.
Where? Out there?
No, period.
No, I've rented a camper before.
I mean, there's a place not like literally one exit down from the...
But I want a loaded out camper.
Okay.
I'm not talking about the one that you get, because the one that I got, and I probably rented it know, 15 years ago. No, it wasn't terrible, but it was kind of your plain Jane, your camper. I'm talking about one of those luxury things.
Okay, well.
And I preferably not to, like to pay for it. I would kind of get better.
Oh, there it is.
Oh, there it
okay,
is.
Okay, right.
Bingo.
You know, those things are available.
There's the real reason.
A tidy up. Yeah.
If only you were some kind of employee that could go out and maybe trade for certain things or go out and do something. Oh,
I don't know.
There's a way to, you know, promote that you could go out and be, hey, come see Landrum at the SEC baseball tournament and pick out his tattoo design.
Yes. We could probably do that. We could knock it all out in the camper. Just have the tattoo artist come and give it.
Now, I did see, maybe before it was you got there yesterday, but I did see some LSU fans riding around in golf carts in the parking lot.
Nice.
Had the old fancy LSU. Was it the golf cart that you have at the local municipal golf course?
Right.
You know, it was one of these really nice tricked out. The ones that you see almost Saturday.
Yeah, it's got
game
the stereo system.
The
you probably have the lift up thing in the back where you can put ice and have your cooler going.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I wonder if you have to have that thing registered. You have to have a permit to run that thing around Hoover.
I don't know, but
there might be one of Hoover's finest listening going, you know what? I'll start asking people.
And it's just a great setup now with the Finley Center right next door.
Yeah.
All the activities going on there. We did not see the Ferris wheel yesterday.
Did not see the Ferris wheel.
Think it's because of the weather.
Possibly. Now, was that right that the Ferris wheel that they used to put out there, that actually came from Neverland Ranch?
I don't know.
I think that is what somebody told me. I know I didn't dream it. But, yeah.
You often dream of Neverland Ranch?
I do not, John.
Oh, okay.
I do not. Not Neverland.
If you want live coverage of the SEC baseball tournament, you can tune in to the Jocks family of stations. AM 690 will have coverage of the SEC baseball tournament today. So Bama, Georgia, getting underway momentarily. I was kidding around with Greg McElroy just a moment ago as we were doing the handoff, as we were coming in studio and they were leaving. I said, man, I just really hope and pray that Jimbo Fisher sees an open microphone somewhere today. I really want more Jimbo. I have not had enough Jimbo over the course of the last 4 days. I need more. And we all know now if there's an open microphone, Jimbo Fisher will talk into that microphone, and then with his mouth open, he will stick his foot in his mouth.
There's no doubt about that. How many more are we going to get from Jimbo? Because he's not going to be reprimanded by anybody at Texas A&M. There's no way.
No,
it's clear that Jimbo answers to no one at Texas A&M. Maybe the Board of Regents. But it's like you said, Pat, what does Jimbo have to worry about?
Zero.
He's ingratiated himself even more to the Texas A&M fan base. Early last year, he gets a raise for absolutely nothing. How does he finish that off? By going 8-4. So, no, I mean, what are you going to do? He's guaranteed that money. He's going to be your guy. He's going to take you to the promised land, get you over the hump, finally get you to an SEC championship game appearance. So, yeah, if you're Jimbo, you're riding on cloud nine right now. I don't know how the rest of the conference feels. I don't know how the administration or the folks that work in the SEC office feel about Jimbo continuing. But he did go out of his way yesterday, Pat, not to talk about Nick Saban.
Couldn't talk to him.
No. Not going to.
No?
No. Didn't listen to the radio. Doesn't use iPhones.
That could
only
be
a landline.
That could be problematic when you're going into a conference setting next week where all the coaches, the head coaches, will be in a room together.
Yeah.
Now, when I say the coaches are in there, unless they have changed it, that's all that's in there. Like, you don't have your SIDs. You don't have your little, you know, people that will drive you around and stuff like that. I mean, it is coaches only. Coaches and the SEC staff. And usually they have real silverware. That could be a problem.
Oh, you know, How does Commissioner Sankey start that whole thing? Does he bring in a chaplain?
Do you think that would matter?
I don't know.
No.
Guys.
I've been told that Commissioner Sankey's a little bit more irritated at what's going on in the state of Texas.
Oh, I can't imagine why.
Now, he's not happy about any of the situation, but the ongoing continued browbeating that's going on from College Station, that's a little irritating.
And we still would have been mentioning it and talking about it, but for Jimbo to double down and give us a whole new piece of audio and more to go from, well, I've done my research. Just now did my research. And well, to list all the different things and then to challenge a reporter, admonish verbally an assistant or someone, a female, that was there apparently with him. Yeah, you're building your case, Jimbo, for being public enemy number one in the SEC.
Okay, so Jimbo Fisher yesterday, he said he did research, right?
Yeah.
So I thought it was something that we ought to do as broadcasters and people that talk about these type situations, that I did my own research yesterday.
Good.
Because if Jimbo's going to do research, I feel like I need to do research. If we're going to talk about Jimbo, yep, we're going to talk about these things. I decided this would be a great opportunity for me to remind our audience of some things that Jimbo Fisher and some of the history with him and some programs that he has been at the helm of in the past. So let's think about Jimbo Fisher's legacy at Florida State. He was 27-1 with Jameis Winston, but he was 56-22 without Jameis Winston. You remember Winston, right? You remember him? Hueytown kid, right?
Yeah.
You remember him? He had a rape allegation while he was a quarterback at Tallahassee.
Mm-hmm.
He was never criminally prosecuted, but it did lead to the university paying $950,000 to settle a Title IX lawsuit. And then they had an embarrassing citation for shoplifting crab legs there at Florida State. Remember that? He went into a Publix, right?
Yep.
Wasn't that what it was?
Correct.
Are you okay? Yes. Have you mentioned standing up on the picnic table?
No, that's coming.
Okay.
No, that's coming, Landrum. Don't get ahead of yourself.
Sorry. There's just so many things to pull from.
And then early in the second of Winston's two seasons played at FSU, he was suspended for one game by the university after making offensive and vulgar comments while standing on a table. That's that table that Landrum was referring to. That was kind of the starting of the entitlement of the players in right. Tallahassee under Jimbo Fisher. Okay. Do you remember what Fisher said after FSU's heartbreaking loss to Louisville back on October 21st, 2017? When he implored the Seminole Nation to keep the faith. This is Jimbo Fisher. He said the following. If you're a fan, are you going to be loyal fan or not? Just keep fighting with us. We ain't quitting on you. Please don't quit on us. A month later, it sounded like Fisher was ready to quit. Remember, he doesn't.
Listen, I'm going to tell you one thing. You can call me anything you want to call me. You ain't calling me a cheat. I don't cheat and I don't lie.
He doesn't cheat. He doesn't lie.
Hmm.
So you're going to quit or you're going to be with him? He ends up what? Leaving. Going to Texas A&M. All right. So when asked after he took the A&M job, he said the following. I have no comment on that. I love my time at FSU. We left the program in good shape with good players.
I don't cheat and I don't lie.
He doesn't cheat. He doesn't lie. Okay. Left them with good players, right, Landrum?
Yeah.
Top of the notch players.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, former assistant under Fisher at FSU told the Bleacher Report that by the end of Fisher's reign there in Tallahassee, coaches were been given the mandate, just keep the players eligible. Now that's from an assistant coach, an anonymous assistant coach to the Bleacher Report saying, just keep the players eligible. The FSU football team's score for the 2017 and 2018 year as an APR was 922. That was last among the Power Five programs and dangerously close to the line where the NCAA takes punitive action.
I don't cheat and I don't lie.
Doesn't cheat, doesn't lie. But he told an assistant coach, just keep these kids eligible. Their APR score was one of the worst in the Power Five, period. So let's fast forward. Let's forget. Let's just sweep all the Florida State stuff under the rug, right?
It's in the past.
Fast forward to July 2nd, 2020, okay? July 2nd. The NCAA announced penalties, including a six-month show cause under Coach Jimbo Fisher at Texas A&M. It was 1 year probation against the Aggies for multiple violations. According to the NCAA release, Texas A&M violated NCAA recruiting and countable athletically related activity rules between January 2018 and February 2019. And Fisher violated NCAA head coach responsibility rules. The punishment stemmed from an incident in which Fisher and an assistant had impermissible recruiting contact with a player at the kid's high school. In addition to the recruiting violation, Texas A&M and Fisher were also found to have not ensured that the program stayed within the allowable number of countable activity hours. In other words, you're working your kids too much during the week. You've only got so many hours that you can work with these kids. They were going over that limit. The NCAA ultimately ruled that the Fisher had failed to promote an atmosphere of compliance, because of his personal involvement in the recruiting violation. So this was not citing an assistant coach that was going rogue on the recruiting trail. Jimbo Fisher was cited by the NCAA for his personal involvement in the recruiting violation, and he failed to monitor his staff. Quoting Jimbo Fisher, after the NCAA came out with this against him and Texas A&M, as Texas A&M's head football coach, I am responsible for promoting and monitoring the NCAA compliance of our program.
Yes, I'm going to tell you one thing. You can call me anything you want to call me. You ain't calling me a cheat. I don't cheat and I don't lie.
Very interesting. Greg McElroy hit the nail on the head this morning with Cube, in which he said, we all live in glass houses in the SEC in college football. We all know that. But when a coach goes on and on like Jimbo Fisher has in regards to whatever did or did not happen under Nick Saban, I'm not defending Nick Saban. It's the college game as a whole. But when you go on national TV and you continue to rattle off these ridiculous claims that he is clean, he does not lie, he does not cheat, I just gave you a litany of things that would take anybody about 20 minutes on Google, or if anybody's got an account at TallahasseeDemocrat.com,
right,
you can find out all this stuff. So for him to sit up there on this high horse and say that he does not...
I don't cheat and I don't lie.
It's ridiculous.
Or he's got the Urban Meyer thing where he has selective memory and he can't remember things that were important or viewed as negative in his past. And Pat, I said it when he said it. Like, okay, all right, Jimbo, go ahead. Throw it out there. You're pristine. You're lily white. You have no transgressions in your past. You can put your head on your pillow at night and you can sleep soundly knowing that your conscience is clear. And maybe it is clear, but I would say this. You said narcissist. If your conscience is that clear, you believe that maybe it didn't happen. What does that classify you as? Is that sociopathic? What is that? Or maybe you just are a liar.
He failed to promote an atmosphere of compliance because of personal involvement in the recruiting violation. He failed to monitor his staff.
I don't cheat and I don't lie.
So who do we believe? Do we believe all these things that happened in his past, or do we believe the new Jimbo Fisher at Texas A&M, who's now got the number one recruiting class in America, the 7 5-stars, never had more than two
class ever? He can't be a sociopath because it has intelligence listed as one of the traits.
He doesn't cheat. He doesn't lie. So when you start throwing these rocks, just be prepared. And for him to say what he did and continue to drone on, I guess he believed that the internet was wrong because it's just filled with rumors and innuendo that he was not given a show cause, right?
Yeah.
We just made that up. We just wanted to get clicks, right?
Right.
No, Jimbo didn't get a show cause. Texas A&M didn't face NCAA violations for recruiting violations. No, that never happened. And we'll say it again on this program. We're not claiming that anything that Texas A&M has currently done that he's gone off on is illegal, period. Neither did Nick Saban. It's all fun and games now because of the NIL. But to go on and on like he has over the course of the last few days, it's highly ridiculous. And whoever is sitting down with him and giving him any type of advice from a marketing or a PR standpoint, they need to be fired.
They need to be fired.
And there's a lot of really smart people at Texas A&M, a tremendous amount.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful school, wonderful alumni and fan base. But what your head football coach is doing right now is an embarrassment.
And I'm surprised that maybe I'm not. Texas A&M fans haven't said, you know what, I wish you'd just be quiet. Let's just play. Play ball.
This has emboldened everyone. I guarantee you, not that we would ever see it, but the NIL collective and the monies that's probably being donated now is through the roof.
Dr. Necessary Evil, Texas A&M fan, listens to our show. And Dr. Necessary Evil, we appreciate you listening. And this is not a reflection on you, but you say at the number three man front, please keep talking about Jimbo. I want more coverage and for players to see and hear Texas A&M. You want a coach that will stand up for you and fight against everyone. And I pray he finds another open mic. It's glorious. We accept the villain role and will flourish in it.
Where's the villain role? No one has said they're doing anything wrong.
I think he's saying Jimbo as their leader, now the villain, which I think he is probably.
Villain. It's just villain. The fact that he's making a fool out of himself.
Yeah.
D.A. If I recall, last year we anointed Dan Mullen as the villain, and how'd that work out for him at Florida?
Only difference is that Jimbo's got about four ranches and a guaranteed 10-year contract, so I think they're pretty happy.
Tommy Windham says, I don't cheat, I don't lie, and I can't coach.
So I just wanted to point out those things. So as we continue to hear him beat the drum of him not lying or cheating.
Do your research.
Just wanted to do a little research myself because I know he did because he basically turned to Alan Cannon, his sports information director yesterday, and said, hey, how many of the 11 early enrollees got NIL deals? He said one. I said, okay. Meanwhile, I heard plenty of information back in December and January about recruits and the number $300,000 being thrown around.
But that wasn't NIL. He can only talk, Pat, and I started thinking about this. He mentioned one out of the 11 that had already enrolled with NIL deals. Well, if he mentioned the kids that hadn't enrolled that had NIL deals, wouldn't that pretty much poo-poo on the whole thing of them having deals in place prior to getting to campus?
Wouldn't you like to be the next recruiting class at Texas A&M?
Oh, gosh.
Because they're raising the bar so high.
Yeah. Like, I want some of that collective. I know it's there.
Meanwhile, Steve Sarkisian's on the phone going, all right, hey.
Hey, boys, $50,000's not going to cut it for linemen.
These $50,000 for linemen. I mean, Texas A&M's giving $300,000 offers to kids.
Whew. How about National Wine Day at Twin Peaks coming up tomorrow? They're pulling the cork on some of the best vino on National Wine Day. Red or white for you. Twin Peaks never settle.
When we come back, Mike Griffith from DogNation.com, they had the breaking story over the weekend from the old ball coach, Steve Spurrier. He spoke up in regards to this latest feud between the two head coaches in the SEC. We'll ask Mike his opinion on what's going on. This is Three Man Front on a Tuesday. SEC baseball underway. We'll give you an update from Hoover when we come back on Jocks 94.5.
Listen, I'm going to tell you one thing. You can call me anything you want to call me. You ain't calling me a cheat. I don't cheat and I don't lie.
This is Three Man Front.
They're playing ball in Hoover, the SEC baseball tournament, round one. Single elimination today because of rain. First pitch got pushed to just past 10 o'clock. Good news if you're an Alabama baseball fan. The Tide is the 11th seed. They play three runs in the top of the first inning. They lead the Georgia Bulldogs 3-0. We'll keep you updated right here on Jocks 94.5. You're home for the SEC.
When we were going out to the Hoover Met yesterday to get our credentials and watch a little bit of practice going on with the Florida Gators, passed by Stadium Trace Village. I want to remind everybody about Big Whiskey's. It's Birmingham's best combination of upscale casual dining and most extensive bar. You need to stop in before the games or after the SEC tournament games this week. They're right there at Stadium Trace Village. The kitchen is open late after the games. Full menu from appetizers, soups, salads, pastas, sandwiches, burgers, and steaks. I'm getting hungry just talking about it. You need to go by and see the fine folks there at Big Whiskey's, located Stadium Trace Village. The kitchen is open late after these games at the Hoover Met.
So much to talk about, and we've been talking about it since Wednesday night with the comments from the World Games event that Nick Saban, Nate Oates attended here in Birmingham, and then the fallout. Of course, last Thursday, Jimbo calling the press conference here in College Station. We carried for you live here on Jocks 94.5, and then over the weekend, or it might have been just yesterday, with KSA-TV out of San Antonio, we hear his comments and Jimbo kind of doubling down. Mike Griffith, the DogNation.com, who covers the Georgia Bulldogs, but also had a great story up when he got to talk to the old ball coach, Steve Spurrier, joining us now on Three Man Front, the Bud Light Hotline. Mike, hope you're doing well. We haven't talked to you since we got the comment from Nick Saban and then from Jimbo Fisher. If you could just kind of encapsulate maybe a timeline of Mike Griffith reading or hearing the comments by Saban and then hearing the comments by Jimbo, all of your years of covering college football, especially in this conference, what was your takeaways?
Well, I mean, I thought, you know, Saban just kind of said what he thought. I mean, he shared his opinions, and Jimbo came unglued. I don't think Saban said anything that you know, like Steve Spurrier said, I mean, where was the lie? Now Jimbo is hell-bent on trying to prove there's no NIL deals, which I don't really understand. I think that the toothpaste is out of the tube. I think Jimbo, he lost his poise. I mean, he lost his character. You can't come back from that. You know, Jimbo acted the fool, and, you know, regardless of whether there's any merit to what he says or what anybody thinks about Nick Saban or his character, his integrity, that was about as bad of a representation by a CEO of a coach or a program as I've ever seen. These aren't two equal parts. I mean, Nick Saban's doing a presentation. He's doing a Q&A. And granted, he later said he shouldn't have singled out anybody, but he was making the point that there were two schools or two programs or two instances that he cited that he felt where NIL dealings, you know, raised a flag. And it wasn't like that was why he was, you know, doing that presentation. That presentation included a lot of questions and answers. And Nick Saban was being frank because, like he said, at his age, he really doesn't care what people think about him. And the fact of the matter is that nobody else has been talking about it. And if status quo remains, then we're headed down a slippery slope where it will be the highest bidder. And Nick Saban, if not Nick Saban to do something about it or to bring this to everyone's attention, then who's going to do it? So he used his stage in his arena when he was asked a question, and that was one thing he said of many. Well, Jimbo Fisher was so irate that he called a press conference, looked like he came running in the building, told everybody what to, I mean, the guy just showed no, but can you imagine working for somebody like that?
No.
And he just went off and made it personal. It was not professional, I didn't think. Tried to make Saban a villain by, you know, you're questioning these kids. Well, no, I didn't hear him say anything about the kids. I didn't hear him say anything about the kids. I heard him accuse Texas A&M boosters or whomever of being involved. And he's not the first person that said that, by the way. Lane Kiffin has said that. I don't know that Kirby's ever come out and said A&M, but I feel like Kirby has intimated to A&M. So I didn't see it as this even battle royale. I saw it as Saban said something and Jimbo Fisher came unglued.
One coach that's never short of opinions, and he will tell you what he feels, and that's the old ball coach, Steve Spurrier. Your thoughts on what Steve Spurrier said and him trying to get the message across and taking a dig at Jimbo Fisher and Texas A&M?
Yeah, I called Steve, the day after. I wanted to make sure he'd see him. I left a message for him. I didn't get him direct. He left a message back on my phone and said what he said. Spurrier is another guy. I mean, look, why wouldn't we hear more from Steve Spurrier? The people that get me like, oh, I can't believe Steve Spurrier is saying what? He's on the Mount Rushmore coaches with Paul Bear Bryant and Nick Saban. I don't know who the fourth guy is. There's a lot of, you know, fighting about that, and people could argue about who the fourth coach is. I guess it depends on, you know, whether you're a Big Ten or an SEC or a Tennessee guy or, you know, whatever. There's a lot of cases to be made for a lot of coaches to be that fourth guy. But why wouldn't Spurrier have a comment on it? I mean, he's, you know, Spurrier is very much still aware of the game. I mean, isn't somebody that the game got too old? I mean, Spurrier could really probably be coaching if he really wanted to. He'd still be winning. I know that. So, yeah, I mean, Steve Spurrier's take was, you know, what did Nick say wrong? What did he say that wasn't true? And, you know, I guess, you know, Jimbo beat Nick Saban once, so he wants to talk junk. And then, you know, Spurrier pointed out that, you know, he hadn't beat anybody else. I'll tell you what's amazing about A&M. And I know everybody listening probably already knows that Jimbo Fisher has the same record as Kevin Sumlin did through the first, 48 games, 34 and 14, something like that.
Correct.
But when I did my research last night, what I thought was pretty fascinating, can you imagine this? They have had one season where they've won 10 or more games in 23 years. In 23 years, they've only had one season at A&M, and I think that was Kevin Sumlin won, 11 games in 2012? And then dig this. So you're Texas A&M, you've got this unbelievable stadium, you got all these resources, you got Jimbo with his $90 million contract and his show cause penalty already, and you lose to Sam Pittman in year two, and Arkansas is paying their guy $3 million. So if you want to know why Jimbo's running around the state putting his finger in every hole in the dam, it's because A&M's got to be getting pretty pissed off. Like, look, You know, you're not. He hadn't won anything yet. Well, you beat. Well, you got one win over Nick Saban. Okay, but in 4 years, I mean, or 3 years, 3 or 4 years. I mean, it's just. So I think there's a lot of urgency, and Oklahoma and Texas are getting ready to join the league, and whatever advantage A&M had being in the SEC is about to dissipate. I think Jimbo Fisher's on. I think he's really feeling some heat, man.
Mike, with your just wealth of knowledge and experience of being at various institutions, covering different teams, Auburn, Alabama, Tennessee, now Georgia, here in this conference, and just being around as a veteran, and I know that you're not speaking for every coach, but if you could maybe just kind of guesstimate when coaches across the league in the SEC saw and heard the comments from Jimbo Fisher, aside from the entertainment value, how do you think those comments resonated with those coaches and how it could affect maybe just a working relationship or just a, maybe just being cordial in the future with them being in the SEC and coworkers?
Well, do you mean towards Jimbo Fisher or just
yes.
towards one another?
Well, towards Jimbo Fisher.
Yeah, I don't think Jimbo's ever been the most popular guy around. I mean, he was at Florida State when he won his national championship, and a lot of these programs had to recruit against him there. I mean, I kind of compare these guys to, you know, this reminds me of like 1990s NASCAR, right? And insert Dale Earnhardt and Terry Labonte for Jimbo Fisher and Nick Saban. And, you know, throw some of those other, you know, roughneck guys in there, you know, throw Ricky Rudd in there and Dale Jarrett and, you know, Ernie Irvin. And, you know, these guys have to race against each other every week. So there's a
Kyle Busch. That'd be a good one.
Well, yeah, he would have gotten his ass kicked in the 90s. He really would have. Anybody listening that used to go to Dega in the 90s knows where Kyle Busch would have been. Jimmy Spencer would have put Kyle Busch in the fence a few times. That would have been.
While smoking a cigarette.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, I think it's, I kind of compare it to that. Like, they have to compete with each other, and they have, you know, so there's kind of a mutual respect in the business because they all know. You know what it takes to run these programs. They're, you know, like now, for example, like I was texting with Konzo Martin and Tom Crane yesterday, and you know these are two SEC coaches that you know I've got a lot of respect for both of these guys. By the way, they've both proven themselves as coaches, but things didn't go their way and they're out. Well, you know they're still texting, and good for them. You know they're you know so if you know what I mean, there's kind of a mutual respect, and but when one guy you know crosses the line like Jimbo did. You know, and don't forget, it was Jimbo Fisher that kind of opened up this whole can of worms on Feinbaum's show when he said there's always been NIL deals y'all just didn't know about.
Yeah.
Remember when Jimbo said that?
Yeah, he said they were always under the table. Now they're above the table.
Yeah. Jimbo Fisher was the one that said that, not Nick Saban.
Right.
So and now he wants to, you know, well, Nick Saban's, you know, asking this. Well, yeah, anybody that's worked for Nick knows Nick Saban will do what he's got to do to win. I mean, why is that a surprise? It's like somebody saying, well, ask anybody that's ever worked on Dale Earnhardt's crew. You know, he'll bump you to win races. Yeah, no kidding. No, you're not supposed to do that. No, you're not. You know, I mean, like I said, Nick Saban is the modern-day college football intimidator. You know, put a black number 3 on those Bama helmets, man. You tell a fortune, tell them tons of them. But and he is. He's the guy that's going to do what it takes to win. And I don't think he's going to apologize for it. Because that's what Alabama hired him to do. And it's what, you know, 12 years later, or 11 years later, A&M, you know, Jimbo Fisher's their Nick Saban. He's the guy they went after. They said, what amount of money will it take? And at the time, I'll be honest, I advocated Tennessee should do that. I said, I thought Jimbo Fisher, he's the guy you want to get. Well, you know, they got him. And it's tough. You're going to have to step on some toes to get to the top. And Alabama and Nick Saban just aren't going to step aside. And so we got what we got, and we saw what we saw. We saw a lot of frustration from Jimbo. But if you're asking me who won that battle in the court of public opinion, it was Nick Saban. I mean, he came off as the calm and cool, and then he said, "Hey, well, I guess I shouldn't have singled anybody out." He said, "I'm truly sorry about that." I said, "Oh my gosh!"
Well,
you know, and then Jimbo goes off again at another. It's like, does he not have a PR team? Or here's what I think: he does, and he won't listen to him.
I think you're right,
Coach.
Yep,
you got to let this one go, man. Because every time you open your mouth, you're digging yourself in deeper.
We're talking to Mike Girth from DogNation.com on the Bud Light Hotline every Tuesday here on Three Man Front. So let me ask you a question. Now that we're getting into SEC spring meetings territory next week in Destin, what do you anticipate between these two? You think there will be a bearing of the hatchet? How do you think Sankey will kind of navigate those troubled waters?
Well, Greg Sankey already has. You know, that's another takeaway for all of us, is just to see how valuable he is. I mean, thank goodness that, you know, the SEC has got someone that's as universally respected as Greg Sankey. And you know, listen, the SEC's been fortunate. Ray Kramer, Mike Slavansky, because they've all been the right guy at the right time. You know, we needed Roy Kramer. We needed that power broker that could influence other conferences and put together a mutual championship. And when Mike Slive took over, we needed that ambassador and the, you know, that could glad handle and keep this thing moving along as we navigated, you know, the beginning of the BCS years and some of the unintended consequences that would come out of it and the new membership that was added to the league. I mean, Slive was absolutely the right guy at the right time. And now I think the SEC is really lucky to have Greg Sankey, because hell is breaking loose. And college football is in its biggest transition ever. I would say ever. I mean, look, guys, everything we're talking about scheduling models. We're talking about playoffs. We're talking about NIL. We're talking about amateurism. We're talking about transfers. I mean, what aren't we talking about? This is a complete upheaval of college football. And thank goodness that the SEC has, you know, and he always bristles when I say it, but he's the professorial, you know, Greg. I feel like we should be calling him Dr. Greg Sankey, right? Doesn't he seem like a doctor? I mean, he's got to have some doctorate.
He actually does, you know, seem like a doctor. It's a good call.
Yeah, he, you know, and thank goodness that the SEC has, you know, this brilliant man of the times. And, okay, his humor might be a little awkward sometimes, but that's okay. It's funny. Right? And he's got the smoothest guy in the room. He's got Herb Vincent standing there, you know, Mr. Smoothie, and you know, everybody loves Herb Vincent, right? I mean, so it's just a great team for what's happening right now in college sports. And you know, that's something else that came out of this for me. It wasn't just Jimbo and Nick. It was, wow, look at this. Here's Greg Sankey on top of this. And even though we're all rolling our eyes going, well, what's a public reprimand? I don't know, but I guarantee you that Nick and Jimbo didn't like it. Right? Pretty much like, I'm going to issue a public reprimand. In other words, I am going to make it publicly official that I don't like what you did. And in fact, I'm going to find two bylaws that we have that shows that you guys managed to break rules. Like, did you know there were bylaws against these guys? I didn't know there were bylaws, but Greg Sankey, there they were. You know, he pulled them right out. And so, and I thought, well, you know, isn't this great that, you know, we can have these coaches, you know, that are so emotionally charged. And if you look at Sankey's response, he didn't make excuses for them, but he basically said, look, in this day and age, there's, you know, I can't quote exactly what he said. You guys could find that release, but he basically pointed out that this is a time of a lot of frustration and confusion. He wasn't making excuses for him, but at the same time, he made it clear that the way that they, that what they said wasn't appropriate. And it was swift and it was firm, and then it was done and it was over with. And then he shut down Lane Kiffin, like, okay, Lane, you know, party's over. Leave the house, right? Turn the music off. You can't talk on Dan Patrick this week. But Jimbo's still talking, and I'm not sure, you know, what to make of that other than this is a frustrated guy. You know, that's, he's throwing good money after bad money on this one.
Is there assigned seating next week?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. These guys will handle it. Jimbo will handle it. Jimmy Sexton, you know, money talks. And when Jimmy Sexton gets involved in this, and, you know, he's not going to be the public involvement, but Jimmy Sexton is the other power broker in college football. You know, Greg Sankey and Jimmy Sexton, you know, those are the two most powerful guys. And Jimmy Sexton has influence over his clients. And he will absolutely at some point get Jimbo corralled. I have no doubt about it. Jimmy's helped manage these guys and helped them make good decisions for years and years and years. And he sees it, you know, from 10,000 feet as he's the, agent for most of these guys, you know, they usually get together. And I don't know if they'll have a get together there, but, you know, I saw Ryan Fowler actually had some video from after the championship game in 2017 posted of, I guess Jimbo waiting outside the locker room to congratulate Nick Saban. So
yeah.
It feels to me like two things happened here. One, Jimbo's feelings are really hurt, like personally. And two, he really feels a need to defend the honor of his program. And I don't know, maybe he needs to. I don't know who's in his ear. I don't know what pressure he feels. But, you know, a lot of these coaches don't really understand that outside of their bubble, perception isn't what they think it is. They got a lot of people around them that say yes and laugh at all their jokes even when they're not funny. And then they get out in the real world and they find out they're not as funny and they're not as influential as they think they were. And I think Jimbo's finding that out.
Great stuff, Mike, as always. Enjoyed the read there. Always your work there at DogNation.com. Have fun. See you in Destin. Mike Griffith, at Mike Griffith 32 there on Twitter. Joining us on the Bud Light Hotline. Carefully brewed with a clean, crisp taste. When there's fun, Bud Light is there. Takeaways from what Mike Griffith just had to say, and we'll also get you updated on what's going on out in Hoover. It's Three Man Front on this Tuesday in Jocks 94.5.
This is Three Man Front.
Jocks 94.5, Three Man Front. Pat Smith, Langell Roberts, Conrad Van Order, John Saber with you. Looking good for the Alabama Crimson Tide. We're only in the top of the second inning at Hoover. They had a 35-minute rain delay before this one got started. The Tide is currently up 5-0. That's correct.
RTR.
5-0. 3 runs in the top of the first. They added 2 more in the top of the second. They're still batting. 2 men out. Runner at second. The Tide, they've already chased the starter for the Georgia Bulldogs. So nothing like going to your bullpen. The Bulldogs bring their relief pitcher in. What does he do? First batter, he hits in the head. Next batter throws a wild pitch with the bases loaded. Run scores.
You're 2. You're pitch 3. You're pitch 3. Come on. Cover that plate. Yeah.
And now he's just walked another run.
Yeah, things are not starting well for Georgia.
So it is currently 5-0, 2 men on, 2 men out there in Hoover.
Yep. Don't let the Alabama heat and humidity get you down. Keep your home comfortable with an affordable Trane cooling system. Trane is the official partner of Jocks, and they've been recognized as America's most trusted HVAC brand for 8 consecutive years. Make sure your home and family have a system you can rely on. Find a comfort specialist near you at Trane.com. It's proven it's hard to stop a Trane. Mike Griffith, DogNation.com. His sit-down with Steve Spurrier, but getting his reaction, Pat, from what we heard from Jimbo Fisher, not only yesterday, but also last Thursday in the press conference there from College Station. And the question I asked him, because I was just curious, how would those comments resonate with some of the coaches that really don't have a dog in the fight? I guess technically you do when it comes to recruiting, and you're recruiting against another school in your conference, especially in your own division. But Mike said that it, you know, probably did not go over very well, and alluded to the fact that, you know, from based on folks that he's talked to, probably Jimbo was not already the most popular guy in the conference. Just kind of your takeaway on where this could be going and how Jimbo is perceived by his peers.
Yeah, and he mentioned that Kirby Smart, that is someone that I've heard through the recruiting trails, has not been happy the way Jimbo has gone about his business once he got to College Station. That should not be a surprise. Don't know too many people in the conference that will, you know, get behind Jimbo Fisher. Now, granted, they do like the fact that there's a little bit of infighting, maybe knocking Nick Saban down a peg or so. Thought that what Nick Saban did last week might have been a little bit embarrassing or beneath him. So folks are going to like that to a certain degree, but for Jimbo to continue to go down the road that he's going down is very interesting, especially after he was reprimanded. But as a whole, I believe the coaches are going to be, like Mike Griffith just said, they're going to be on the side. If you had them to choose, they would be on the side of Nick Saban.
Well, and I think it also helps Jimbo just knowing that he's on an island right now, kind of in his own little world there in the state of Texas. It's going to be very interesting to see how much that changes and how much it ramps up when the rival in his own state joins the SEC. Because right now, from the state of Texas, you could just recruit the state of Texas, right? Wouldn't you agree? I know that they recruit in other places, but you could just recruit the state of Texas and use the transfer portal if you like, if you're Jimbo Fisher. But then, and you're recruiting against Texas right now, but when Texas joins the SEC, that living on an island, you just got a new neighbor. And it's going to be interesting to see maybe Jimbo, does he change how he conducts business? Something tells me he won't. Jimbo is just going to be Jimbo until the day that they tell him your services are no longer needed. But Mike's saying that, you know, maybe the natives are getting restless with Jimbo. I don't sense that at all from Texas A&M fans.
If anything, I think it's fired up the fan base more than anything. But it's all about the W's and the L's. I mean, if they finish at 500 again in the SEC, then all of a sudden these people right now that are lined up and they're paying a lot of money to these collectives don't know how many of those people are going to be behind Jimbo Fisher moving forward. But as of right now, he has absolutely taken the red meat that Nick Saban gave him, and he is running with it every opportunity he can in the state of Texas.
Well, how about this from Sirius XM Satellite Radio, Justin Thomas, former Alabama golfer, two-time PGA Championship winner. Speaking of wins and losses, his comments on Jimbo.
Yeah, I got a 24-hour rule. Maybe I'm not sure what Jimbo Fisher's rule is, but I guess he's got to win something first before he figures out his rule.
Well, Justin, he does have a national championship. I think he was just saying the SEC. Beat Alabama and Auburn last year.
Yes, he did.
Lost to the other four teams in your division.
Yeah.
Didn't play in a bowl game.
See what he does this year.
It's how you measure wins, man. Some days, just getting out of bed can be a win.
It's interesting. Take a look at the SEC schedule. Who do they play the week before they come to Alabama? That is a dangerous game. October 1st in Starkville, Mississippi against Mississippi State. Think the old Pirate might have something waiting for them?
Maybe so. He did last year.
In College Station.
SEC Vegas win totals, what they could mean next.
This is Three Man Front on Jack's 94.5.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.